2 weeks ago, we looked at the exaltation in verse 9, speaking of the brother of low degree to rejoice in that he's exalted. Last week, we started looking there, Roman numeral number 2 on page 2, at the deflation. And we looked at some common misconceptions about money regarding riches. Number 1A there, common misconception, is that money is evil. Money is not evil, folks. It's just as neutral as could be. Amen. It's like saying, boy, we're into this now over this past week. People are talking about guns being evil. Guns are not evil. Amen. Thank God I have one. I'm glad to have one. Amen. When evil people come in, amen, I'll have mine to use. But guns are not evil. That piano is not evil. Amen. It's an inanimate object. It's based on the person behind it. Money is not evil. Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. Just wanting money to have leads to covetousness, which the Bible says is idolatry. Amen. Colossians 3:5. And then B, not only money is evil, that's a misconception, but God is against you having wealth. This contradicted by the lives of Job and Abraham and Jacob, who were very wealthy men. For it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth, the Bible says. Amen. And so we looked at the common misconceptions. Then we looked at some cautious considerations last week regarding riches. Riches can cause forgetfulness. Riches can cause disappointments. Why? Because as someone has well said, money talks and mine always says goodbye. Amen. Riches make wings and fly away, the Bible says. Riches can also cause misplaced priorities. It talks about there in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the deceitfulness of riches. They deceive us and we start building our priority system around having money when it ought to be focused on God. Amen. He ought to be our priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then we talked about error and many sorrows. And then the last one we looked at there, E, was pride. We looked at the rich man who had to build bigger barns because he was so wealthy and he had done so much and he had forgotten about God. Amen. And so we pick up there pride, this last error, this last cautious consideration. This is perhaps the most dangerous caution concerning riches. What is it, Pastor, that it leads to pride? That it leads to pride. That you start to think that you're something more than you are just because you have money. Amen. Well, because I have money, I can tell this person what to do and that person what to do. This is what God is dealing with here, folks, in these verses. Many a man and woman has metaphorically sold their soul for less than 30 pieces of silver. Of course, talking about Judas, who sold himself for 30 pieces of silver. Many people have sold themselves for much less just to have money. And then been too attached to their wealth to come to Christ. Many a man and woman has metaphorically sold their soul for much less than 30 pieces of silver, and then been too attached to their wealth to come to Christ. Was not this the terrible and possible eternal error of the rich young ruler? And on the blank line there, you can put Mark 10, 17 through 27. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. He came to Jesus and he said, Master, what good thing must I do that I would inherit eternal life? And then, by the way, Jesus said, do you know who you're talking to? Nobody's good except the one who was God. Amen. But he went on to say, you keep the commandments, do this, and sell all that thou hast. He wasn't saying to keep all that to have eternal life. He was getting to the heart of the matter. You love your money, young man. Get rid of it and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he didn't do that, did he? The command to those that have been blessed with wealth is to remain humble before their God. The command here, look at verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low. Okay? The wealthy believer must realize that he is saved the same way and through the same precious blood as the poor believer. Aren't you glad the ground's level at Calvary? You know, there's no rich people in heaven and there's no poor people in heaven. Only saved people. Amen. And that's what God is dealing with here. He moves us to from the exaltation to the deflation. And then on the last page, he gives us the illustrations. Many of you know I'm a nostalgic fan of old radio. And one of the great characters from old radio days is a man named Jack Benny. Many of you remember Jack Benny, the man who would hold on to a penny with a death grip. Amen? And the following routine was recorded in 1950, and it illustrates something that I want us to see here. The phone rings, and Mr. Benny says, "Hello?" And of course, you know, his butler, Rochester, I couldn't possibly do Rochester's voice. Amen. It really messed up my throat. He says, "Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester. Rochester, I'm in the middle of the program. I know, boss, but this is very important. The man from the life insurance company was here about that policy you're taking out, and he asked me a lot of questions. Well, I hope you answered him right. Oh, I did, but he said never in the history of the life insurance business has a policy been made out this way. But Rochester, did you insist that I wanted it that way? Yes, but he said no matter what, that you can't be your own beneficiary." And of course, Jack would say, "Hmm." "But I argued and told him that you wouldn't take out the policy unless you could have it written that way." "What did he say?" "He said just leave a forwarding address and they'll mail it on to you." We have on your outline, "While this will certainly bring one to laughter, it's truly sad that some Christians live their lives thinking that they can take their riches and material possessions to heaven with them. It's truly sad to live that way." Amen. It's truly sad that some Christians live their lives thinking they can take their riches and material possessions to heaven with them. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither." Paul told Timothy, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." And God here, God easily illustrates the fleeting and temporal nature of riches and the folly of trusting in them. Listen, folks, our trust is in the living God. We don't trust in uncertain riches. And this is what God is illustrating here. That brother of low degree that doesn't have any money, let him rejoice in that he's exalted. And that man that could literally buy the world seven times over, if he's a believer in Christ, let him rejoice in that he is made low. Why? Because God is still the God of the poor and of the rich. He gives us four illustrations here in verse 11. He says, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat." The first thing he gives us is the rising sun. He's telling us that we're to not to trust in riches. Why? Because of the rising sun. But then he says, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat." So we see not only the rising sun, but we see the burning heat. And what does the rising sun and then the burning heat do? In verse 11, it says, "But it withereth the grass." We see the withering grass. The rising sun, the burning heat, the withering grass. What's happening here? It's a process that happens every day in the economy of God. Then you see the fourth one there. "Withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth." See the falling flower. What is God trying to teach us to just kind of sum up here in this last paragraph? No matter what our standing, may we in true humility in true humility, as rightfully condemned sinners. And by the way, everyone in here is a rightfully condemned sinner. We all deserve punishment for our sins. And all God's people said, you said, not me. Then you're a visitor from heaven tonight. Amen. Because we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That's what we justly owe. And so, no matter what our standing, may we in true humility as rightfully condemned sinners rejoice in what Christ has done for us and has freely given us. Let's look, if we could, at these three cross references. Amen. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Tremendous chapter of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4. There's a lot of sermons in there, Brother Howard. Amen. There just really is. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Amen. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Look at verse 11. Paul said here, he was talking about the generosity of the church at Philippi. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Paul said this, whether I'm poor or I'm rich, I'm rejoicing in Christ. Go over to Luke chapter 10, verse 20. We looked at this verse, I believe last week, could have been the week before. Tremendous verse. Tremendous verse of Scripture. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And you remember the story here. If you look, Jesus is sending his disciples out. Verse 17, he says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Jesus said in verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and we'll close tonight. 1 Peter 1, 4. What a verse. What a verse. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again, or could we say the words that we use, born again? Come on. Hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, if you're a believer here and you don't have very much money, let me tell you what you do have. You have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How about that? Some of you have been serving God with your whole life. And you think, what have my nickels and dimes done over the years? Are you going to find out? When you get to heaven, and God says, you know, there was a day when I sat on a hillside and a little boy came to me and brought me his lunch. And he had five little loaves and two fishes, as Lukey says. Two fishes, amen. And you know what I did? I gave thanks and I break it, gave it to the disciples, and they distributed and distributed and distributed and distributed and distributed. And everybody ate until they were full. And then they gathered up the fragments and had 12 baskets left over. I took that $5 you gave to missions every week, and I saved souls in South Africa. And I saved souls in Uganda. And I saved souls in fill-in-the-blank, folks. You know who does that in most cases? It's not rich believers. It's brothers of low degree. hey, you know what? The Pharisees didn't get commended for how much they put in. It was that little widow who put in her mite. And he said, hey, they've given out of their abundance. She gave all she had. Amen. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. And the rich also to rejoice in that he is made low. Proper perspectives. Amen. Father, thank you for your love for us. And Lord, thank you for straightening us out sometimes through your word. So many times we allow circumstances to influence us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go through life to have the proper perspectives. It's not about having money. Lord, we know money is a tool. Money is important. Lord, we understand that. But help us to always, always, always keep our focus upon you and what we have in you, what we have waiting for us because of what you did, not because of our money, not because we don't have any money or we have too much money. Lord, the fact that you did it all for us. God bless now as we have our invitation time. And Lord, thank you for all that you give to us. In Jesus' name, amen. How about